The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you give us for doing these things?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But then the Jews said to him, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts ever be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Stop it! Just stop it! That's kind of what we might have heard from Jesus in today's gospel lesson if we had been there in the temple with the disciples and with all of the other people that had gathered there. John tells us that the Passover was near, and he says that to us to make it clear to us that the temple would have been a very busy place. Many people would have been coming up to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. And whenever a good Jew went up to Jerusalem, there were certain sacrifices that should be offered in the temple. Sacrifices for sin. Sacrifices in thanksgiving for a good harvest. Sacrifices of thanksgiving for a new child or a marriage. All kinds of things would be accounted during these special feast days, and the temple would be a busy, busy place. Sacrifice, after all, was done in the old-fashioned way. Animals were slaughtered and then offered on the altar of God. It was a round-the-clock business. That smoke was coming out through the temple roof. Over and over again, it would billow day in and day out, especially during these high holy days. And so it's no wonder that there were money changers there and those that trafficked in cattle and sheep and doves, because these were the things that were required in the law of Moses to be offered for various things of thanksgiving, of propitiation, as it is said, for expiation of sin, remission of sin. All of these things were necessary and needed. And beyond that, the money changers were needed as well, because after all, the law of Moses would not permit sacrifice to be purchased with Gentile money. And as the world in Jesus' day became more complex, and people would live in the hinterlands or maybe even in other countries, and they would come on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they would have with them only the money that they could use every day where they lived, and that was Gentile money. And so for them to buy the sacrifice, which was also a convenience, because if they had to travel long distances, it would not be very easy to bring a sheep with you, or a head of cattle, or even several turtle doves. It was just easier to buy them in the marketplace at the temple. So actually, these things that Jesus seems to be condemning were actually matters of convenience for people so that they could pay their religious obligations forward. That the sacrifice that was required for whatever it was that they were dealing with would be available to them. And because they had to purchase it with Hebrew money, not Gentile money, the money changers would actually provide a service for them as well. So why would Jesus get so perturbed about what was going on? I think the reason that Jesus gets angry is because what he is seeing there isn't really about religion. It's not about purity of heart. It's not about living up to one's religious obligations under the law of Moses. Oh, it is for the people that are coming, don't get me wrong. They needed to be there and they needed all these services. But what Jesus was getting upset about was that it was becoming, in the words of the translation we hear today, a marketplace. In some other translations we've heard it, a den of thieves. And that's where the problem is. One of the things that condemned tax collectors in the minds of the people in Jesus' day was that these very necessary government officials made their living by going out and collecting the taxes. The government didn't give them a wage like we do today, but rather they were able to charge just a little bit more than the tax that was due, and that would be their living. Their wages, their salary, as it were. But of course, no one was watching them. No one was auditing them. And so the tax collectors of Jesus' day often took on more than they really should have. They began to take advantage of the necessity of paying their taxes in order to make not only just a living, but to make a fortune. They abused the people. That's what was happening in the temple as well. Because even though these things were necessary for the sacrifice under the law of Moses, and that all of the people coming for the festival days needed to do their sacrifices, these that were there were taking advantage of God's people in a way where they were not just making a living, but they were lining their pockets and expanding their bank accounts far beyond what was reasonable. That's why in the other translation we hear, "Do not make my Father's house the den of thieves." Because Jesus saw these people providing these necessary services as abusing the people who needed them and actually stealing from them by demanding more than was truly necessary. In other words, Jesus is upset because someone is using religion and religious obligations and the scruples of the people coming to offer their sacrifice for their own benefit, to aggrandize themselves. That's really what is frying Jesus. And so much so that he makes a cord, something that you can whip somebody with, and he would start flailing it about. And that wasn't enough to get everybody's attention. And so he started yelling at them as well. And then he went to the money changers and he tossed the coins all over the place so they couldn't even count them. I can imagine the poor there starting to gather up all the coins that were there on the floor. Jesus caused a real ruckus. He caused real chaos. And that was his intent. He wanted to upend what was happening there and bring it back to its original purpose. Maybe that's what our Lenten season is all about. It is time for us to step back and to look at all of the things we do in the name of God, and especially those things we do in the name of religion, and ask whether they are consistent with the ways of God. Are they really there to build up the people of God? Are they really there to help us all build up the kingdom, to empower us to do the works of the spirits? Or are we doing it to aggrandize ourselves? Oh, it would be easy to accuse the clergy of that, of course, and I examine myself about that all the time. But if we really focus on ourselves only and our relationship with God and how we relate to God, and we're only concerned about whether we're going to get into heaven or not, we're not much different than the money changers or the market salespeople there in the temple, because we're worried about ourselves. And therein is the problem. At the end of this Lenten time, we will celebrate Holy Week, and one of the most sacred days in our celebration is Maundy Thursday. And it is on that day that we hear the command of Jesus so clearly in John's Gospel. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. In order to love, you must serve one another. So it shouldn't be about building myself up or racking up brownie points with God in heaven, but rather so that I see in the person in front of me the very image and likeness of God. And when we are commanded in the law of Moses and in our tradition and our worship to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength, that we begin to understand that that is the way we're supposed to love our neighbor. Because it is there that we see the very icon, the very face of God. So as Jesus commands us to love one another, he is just not telling us to be nice to each other, but rather what he is telling us to do is to be willing to give of ourselves, even until it hurts. And not only then, but if we are to love as Christ is loved, we must be willing even to sacrifice our very life for the sake of another. That is a very tall order. And I must confess to you today that I do not measure up to that standard at all. And so it is that during this Lent, I need to constantly go to Christ. And I need to ask for the Spirit's guidance for those areas of my life that I must change, in order to love as Christ loves, to love others as Christ has loved me. That is what we celebrate at this altar. We recall the ultimate sacrifice that Christ paid for us, for our sinfulness, but not only because we are sinners, but so he could teach us the way. The way to the Father's heart, a way that is rooted in love, a way that is rooted in humility and in service, and that we might begin to follow that way, to follow Christ. Yes, Christ calls you and me this day to stop making the church a marketplace. Not only a marketplace of money and goods, but a marketplace of grace, where somehow we think that we need to have transactions between one person and another in order to find love. But rather, the love that we must give, like the grace that flows from the heart of God, is given freely and without cost. This is the love that Christ has for us. This is the love that Christ commands that we have for one another. Love one another as I have loved you. And there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends.